Good morning, everyone. I'm going to be touching on a very important subject this morning, but I'm going to start off with my administrative assistant. She has something she wants to say before we actually get into the guts of this program today.
Well, good morning, everyone. This morning we're going to touch on several topics. Wells Fargo scandal we spoke on a couple weeks ago, we'll be going back over that. The fire that happened here in Oakland, we'll be touching on some of those topics as well. There's sub-stories in addition to that that we'll be touching on, issues in regards to inspections that should have happened and people, you know, sweeping things under the rug and looking the other way, which has caused this major tragedy to take place. And the fact that there are many more venues within Oakland that are forced to go underground because the cost, it's so cost prohibitive to get the permit for holding an event. I used to work for a club in downtown Oakland where there's a theater there, but after hours, after the theater was closed, the owner of the club that I worked for, I would do security, I would work the door, I would take tickets, and then I was also a performer. And one of the reasons he had to do that after hours was because he couldn't afford the cost of putting on a venue. So there's a lot of issues.
Was he even legal to do that after hours thing?
No.
He wasn't yet.
No.
I know a lot of the after hours I attended while I was out there in the world, many of them weren't legal. We was just partying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like the people in the party, we was just partying. We didn't, wasn't bothering nobody.
Right.
You know, but in certain cases, the same thing that happened to them, I was in enough situations where that could have been me.
Absolutely.
Could have been me.
It's really scary, and it's extremely tragic. There's a lot of grief in the town right now. That's what we call Oakland. For those who aren't familiar, we call Oakland the town. There's a lot of grief in the town right now.
Mm-hmm. Oaktown.
And you know, there's many, many people going through it, and this is going to go on in the news for quite some time because there's layers to it. I was reading this morning that every time they pull back a layer, it's like an onion.
Something else pops up.
Underneath it.
Yeah, so we'll probably be covering this next week as well. Right now I'm going to have Donella read you the inspirational prayer for today. And it's short and sweet.
So that contrarywise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. 2 Corinthians 2:7. Father, when we stand to cross the metaphorical bridge of forgiveness, please give us a little push to get us going. Amen.
Amen. Forgiveness. I covered a subject on forgiveness, and I will be covering it again because we say we forgive, but we really don't. We say we love, but we really don't. Not according to God's law. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the fire. The Lord is leading me to talk about it in a different manner. As some of you possibly have heard, the Lord has given me an assignment to teach God's laws, those that are sound doctrine today, and to relate it to things of today the best I know how. And I'm going to do just that with this fire we had. Last week, it was like 6 people. Wasn't it? They said they found 6 bodies, I believe it was last week. Just a week ago when we were on. It has increased to 36 people dead. Now, they're still investigating. They're determining whether any charges are going to be filed. If it's considered criminal, it can go from murder, up murder down to manslaughter. Now, I want to talk about who is really guilty here. I'm going to start off by saying we all are. All of us that sat back and knew those people or homeless people were staying in some of these places, and we knew that they weren't safe and didn't say anything. We had a few people that came out and said some things. Even before the fire, they were making reports to various different authorities.
That's true.
And it appears that no one has done anything. I don't know what the regulations are pertaining to responding to such things. But one thing, keep in mind, if they responded according to regulations, then maybe it's the regulations we need to be looking at. Because we've never had anything like this at this magnitude here in Oakland, we didn't think about it. I was one, so I'm guilty too, because I knew some people were living in these places around here. And my heart was saying I'd rather for them to be in there than freeze to death during the winter. Like right now, we're having some real cold days. People that are homeless out there sleeping in the wild can freeze to death. And so I dealt with it. I'd rather for them to be, you know, inside squatting or whatever you want to call it, rather than them freezing to death. I realize that a lot of these individuals are drug addicts and alcoholics. So what I tend to do now is not hand them any money. The best place to get something from me is to be standing out in front of a restaurant, you know, any of the eating places, because I eat out a lot. And I'll buy you some food. I have no problems in buying somebody some food. I don't want to hand them money, and what they do is take it right to the dope house. Don't even eat. Take it right to the dope people.
Right.
And it's a lot of that going on. We're going to have, Oakland's in a state of emergency, and the city of Oakland is telling the federal government this. We need some help here. But see, what we're not looking at it is that a lot of the fault is ours as the people here. We sat back and allowed a lot of things to happen. And now it's come to a head,
right?
You know, or come to pass. Sometimes it's said, and we can't continue to do that, because Oakland is falling, getting deeper and deeper down into the abyss of evil. Now, the reason why I'm going to talk about this, what they call the ghost ship collective, or the ghost ship warehouse. It's right there smack dab in the middle of International Boulevard, and that's usually considered Mexican territory, because most of the businesses around there and the people that live around there are Mexican or Hispanic or Spanish-speaking people. Even the councilman in that area is a Spanish-speaking person, which that's good. You know, you don't need you being no councilman over there and you can't speak Spanish.
Right.
You know, it don't make sense.
Right.
You know, but anyway, I have to deal with what the Lord has led me to deal with. And this is a hard subject for me. Okay, who's guilty? Like I said, we all are. But let's start with that person that was renting out the building. Now, the owner of the building may have to take some fault because he, as the owner of the building, is supposed to watch his property. Even though Derek Ion Almena is what he's called, would change things around when the landlord would come to inspect things. He made it appear that no one was living there and that this was a warehouse where things were just basically stored. And you would go, that's what warehouses are. You would go and pick your items out because usually you have another outlet or a retail place where you bring your items to sell. Well, see, it's difficult to do that these days, especially for artists to have a warehouse and a retail outlet to sell their, you know, things that they make. So they're just taking the warehouse route and living there as well. In this case, it wasn't legal any kind of way you look at it. They've shown enough pictures to let you know that if there was a fire in that facility, it would be detrimental because it was a fire hazard.
There were 18 people living in there.
18?
Besides the venues that they were throwing, there was a stairway made out of wooden pallets.
It's two of them that was wood on both sides. They weren't real.
They aren't for people to stand on or walk on. So there was a lot of things rigged up in there. And that also added tinder to the fire. Like,
that's right.
Wooden pallets.
That's
wood
right.
And fire go, you know, right together.
Right.
And, you know, it was,
well, they were on the
really
second floor, which shouldn't have had all those many people in the first place.
Right.
Because it's not designed for that. They have ladders. I'm familiar with that type of warehouse.
Right.
Usually, that's the reason why they had those illegal stairs. They wanted to make it easier for themselves. But usually, you'll enter up there through a ladder.
Right.
And a lot of times, it's not even enough room for you to actually really stand up there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they modified or what have you, but it was tall enough for people to be standing up there and dancing, and those floors weren't made for that activity. You know, I'm surprised the floor didn't fall in before the fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it wasn't supposed to be accommodating those people. There were a lot of people that attended that, whatever they wanted to call it, that left early. And they didn't stay very long. They may have stayed around outside and gathered and talked, but they didn't stay in there long because it is known that it was approximately up to 100 people in there at one time. And they can't fit upstairs. I don't know how many people could have fit upstairs, but they couldn't have fit upstairs, so they had to be people downstairs. Now, if the music was loud enough, you'd be able to hear it downstairs sitting on those couches that they had there. You wouldn't have had to go upstairs.
Right.
And there are people that left. They left. They didn't stay, which it wasn't meant for them to stay. Evidently, something came to their mind for them to leave. But in the meantime, like I say, we are all in fault. I'm going to kind of touch bases on the person I think has the most fault, and that's Derek Ion Almena. The reason being is there were enough people that said that he was horrible. He was a horrible person. He'd go around hurting people. He already was in trouble from receiving stolen property. I think it was a camper or something that belonged to someone. He had people living in campers inside of there. One lady got on air and said that she lived in the camper. She knew it was illegal, but she had nowhere else to go herself, so she attempted to stay there, and she complained about it. Now, this is the lady that Almina, he has called herself and have a restraining order on her, because she's the one that, one of the ones that was calling authorities about the place. And she was afraid, because this man evidently go around threatening people. One guy said, he said something about a gun.
Well, keep in mind that there's a lot of people on the streets all over the nation, but Oakland specifically, there's thousands of people living out of their cars. There's people that are rooming with other people. There's people that find situations like this warehouse and, you know, at a reduced rent or whatever.
Right.
You know, people aren't making a living wage to be able to let alone pay rent.
Right.
Or, you know, sometimes you have to decide between whether you're going to put gas in your car or whether you're going to eat. When you're in that type of situation, you know, you can make some desperate decisions, and that's what seems to have happened here, you know.
That's right.
And, you know, the problem is it's more widespread than people are willing to address.
Right. And that's why that's why all of us are in fault. Okay, we see these people out there. What is it that you can do to help? At least take them some food then.
Right.
To the encampment.
Right.
Type thing.
Tent cities all over, populated
right.
All over the place.
Right, and we do have people that do things like that, you know, do the best they can to help out.
You've been doing that for many, many years.
Oh, yeah, I used to have a person in a camper thing out there in the backyard, and we let him come in and use the bathroom and all that type of stuff. And we let him eat with us if we had enough to go around and stuff. We usually do have enough for one more person. But I don't have a problem doing things like that. But I do know that owners of property will be held responsible if they don't supervise their properties when all of these people are going into these warehouses and living and stuff. Sometimes the landlord is so guilty he's collecting rent and he knows that people, this is illegal. He's more into the money.
Right.
And so landlords like that should be held responsible to the max as well. Now, like I said, this Derek Ion person, when the landlord would come to inspect, he'd move things around and what have you. Now, that vacant lot that's next to that facility,
yes.
That's where they were throwing all of their stuff. Now, I don't know if that is the same landlord as the one in the place, but
right.
that landlord does, I believe he does own it, but I'm not positive of that.
Right.
So if he does own it, and when he came and he saw they had moved all that stuff over there, and that it was a fire hazard, he should have
addressed
that then.
Yes.
Because he's the owner of that property also. I don't know. But anyway, the landlord owner should be responsible, and for certain this Derek Ion person who appears to be evil. He's threatened people. He knew what he was doing was illegal, including stealing from people. There were no fire alarms, and he knew people were living there.
There was no sprinkler system.
No sprinkler system, no extinguishers. One lady said that she woke up in the fire. I don't know if she, I don't think she was upstairs. She's probably one of the downstairs people or something. I don't know. But she knew how to get out of where she was. And she had a fire extinguisher, and she said she tried to use that. She said that was no good with the little fire extinguisher she had.
Right.
And so she was able to get out. Now, not only that, he was stealing electricity. from somewhere and hooking all of these different electronic devices up to this stolen electricity.
There's an article this morning that says the refrigerator was ruled out as
yes,
the culprit,
right,
but they still believe it was electrical in nature. There's also an editorial from the East Bay Times that states that Oakland City workers must not be given a free pass for the failure to head off the ghost ship warehouse inferno that killed 36 people. Within hours after the fire, the nation's deadliest since 2003, Mayor Libby Schaaf promised a very thorough and methodical investigation so we can discern what in fact happened. That was the right response.
Yes. Now, keep in mind, they had several fires before this one.
Right.
And the people stayed there. I'm not getting that at all. They stayed there, but where were they going to go?
That's the point right there. It's, you know, you make desperate decisions where you're on the street.
And many
so
of them.
It's dangerous to be, you know, out there exposed like that. There's story after story of people beating homeless people to death and sending them to the hospital. Like, it's almost sport for certain people to go and find a street person and harass and, you know, beat them. So there's, you know, it's hard.
That's
to
a hate crime.
Out. Right. It's hard to figure out which direction to go. And it's wintertime, so all the shelters are full.
That's right. So they're on the streets. And what's so cool about it, this Ion person was at, he's living in the Marriott with his family. He used to stay there at the facility.
Uh-huh.
He's making it appear because they were having a party and it was going to be loud. He placed his family at the Marriott. Don't you guys know how much the Marriott costs?
It's high.
It's high. There are a whole bunch of other places that he could have gone, but that lets me know where his mind is. You know, he's collecting money. Now, one girl they had on the news said she paid $10 to go in there. Now, if it was costing everybody $10 to go in there, that means he was collecting money there. He's collecting rents from people, you know, $300, $400, and $500 a month from people to live in such conditions. And he was able to afford the Marriott.
There's an article I'm waiting to load here from CBS News.
Uh-huh.
Oakland Ghost Ship Warehouse's Derek Ion Almena apologizes after blaze made mass grave. The founder of an Oakland artist colony where dozens of people burned to death says he is sorry but deflected blame for the blaze that gutted the warehouse that he now describes as a mass grave. Derek Ion Almena, who leased and operated the warehouse full of artists where the fire erupted Friday, told the Today Show on Tuesday that he was incredibly sorry. He said the only reason he was there Tuesday was to put his face and body in front of the scene. He said he started the community in the warehouse as a dream for the arts and performing arts, but he said sometimes your dream is bigger than your pocketbook. He said he signed a lease for the building that was to city standards, supposedly.
Yeah, for a warehouse.
He said he lived in the warehouse with his family and other residents, but said he didn't make a profit.
Now, I don't believe that. There's no way I'm going to believe that.
I think
and
a,
he's staying at the Marriott.
Talk about Shelly Mack told CBS News she rented a trailer in the building for a few months in late 2014.
Uh-huh.
That place was a death trap, Mack said. She took a video in which she said shows the potentially hazardous conditions. You turned on a heater and your electricity, everybody's
electricity would go off. Yes.
And was continually overloaded.
Right.
Property records show there were numerous complaints against the building, including two just last month, citing a ton of garbage piling up and an illegal building structure. If you hear a little background noise, sometimes these sites that I go to,
I can't stand
audio it. That shows up and starts playing.
Playing automatically. I can't stand that. But anyway, he's staying at the Marriott. Okay. One of the things, before I get into what was really going on there, we need a street artist program in Oakland similar to the one that's in Berkeley. We used to have a street program when I was like 7, 8 years old, you can walk down either Broadway or Telegraph, and they had street vendors.
Right.
Popcorn, you could buy popcorn, and you get roasted peanuts. They had items and you know, all
right,
kinds of things.
Berkeley still has that.
Berkeley, I participated many, many years ago. I was in my 20s, I believe, maybe even a little younger, in going out saying that we need street artists in Berkeley. I was with Berkeley people, so I went to, and then I'm a fiber artist, so I understood what was going on there. And I like the idea of how they have Berkeley set up.
Right.
They have a problem with doing that in Oakland, and that's because of the people that have the stores that you are in front of. They kind of solved that issue in Berkeley because the people that are in front of that store doesn't sell the same thing that's in that store. I can understand that. But the street artist program, basically there are for artists, people that hand make things.
Right.
It was specifically for that. Handmade things a lot, but now it's probably getting into more retail there because nobody's watching them. They got to hustle, you know, to make money. And so
there's another issue as far as I'm concerned with Oakland right now. San Francisco is trying to be like Manhattan, and Oakland wants to be like Brooklyn. You know, we're in competition supposedly with the East Coast and trying to raise this, you know, image of Oakland. And I understand wanting Oakland to look good, but there's a battle between gentrification and those who are natives here who are being run off and people who have hustled here for many years. There was a recycling center in West Oakland that was some people's sole source of income. Imagine going around all day collecting cans and bottles.
That's a job.
To be able to feed yourself and sustain yourself. There was a brother that was making $1,200 a month out there hustling cans and bottles. And when they closed that facility, he now has nowhere to stay. He has nowhere to be able to gain income. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was out there hustling and doing his thing. And that's what a lot of people are doing, but Oakland is so concerned with its image right now, you know, that those things that are real life issues, people on the street, people struggling to maintain and be able to hold down a job or an income, and also being able to make a living wage to afford somewhere to stay. So all of that feeds into why there are people living in these, you know, warehouses as if it's a home.
We need services to help a lot of these individuals, especially those that have mental problems,
right?
Drug addiction problems.
Right.
We're going to have to open more facilities to assist them. Now, it's going to be difficult to help people that don't want help.
That's right.
Because there are some out there that for some reason they don't want help. I think that goes to the mental state of that person. You may not be able to get them to go for help.
Right.
Type situation.
And then some people just decide that it's too much of a hassle and just go off the grid, as it were. Like, you know, without needing services, you know. And there's a large growing movement of people who are deciding to go off the grid rather than to deal with the bureaucracy and all the red tape that goes into trying to get some help.
Right.
Some people would rather just, okay, I'll just be in my tent. You know, whatever money I have, it can sustain me through the month. I can eat. I can
hopefully
have transportation.
One of the things I'm also seeing that's a problem there, a lot of the people that's on the street that are homeless are receiving SSI. And many times they have a payee.
Right.
And sometimes those payees are abusing them people and
that's
not
right.
giving them their money and things of that nature. So that they don't help them at all. So we're going to have to tighten in on some of these laws pertaining to homeless people.
Right.
Something has to be done. Okay. Now, I think that Oakland should build a lot of tiny houses
right
all over Oakland, and some of them are built tiny houses to work out of.
Right. Live workspace.
Live workspace. They had a couple I saw on television. They had a tiny house built that was less than 300 square feet, and a part of it was for their business. They could open up the back of the house wide and where people could come and see their wares and things like that. Oakland needs to invest in tiny house buildings. If you have property, Oakland, and sometimes the city does own property, and even those that you've taken through eminent domain, you may need to be thinking about doing housing with it. Now, I know that there's a large population of homeless people. There is also, what do they call those? Well, anyway, prefab throw-up places, I call, that some states are using for their homeless people. And we may need to put up some places like that where a lot of homeless people can live in. There's kitchen, refrigerator, you know.
Right. There's a whole movement with the tiny houses. And one of my dreams, because I've wanted to have a space like that of my own for quite some time, there are cargo containers and shipping containers that the ships that come through the Port of Oakland bring here. And there's, like, whole yards of them. Like, there's so many of them because once they're used, you know, a lot
they
of
just
times,
leave them there. And I've been
right,
seeing them there for
there's,
years.
There's a space on San Leandro Boulevard out here where it's a whole lot piled, like, six stories high of these storage containers. And they go from 20 feet to 45 feet. You can lease them or rent them. They are, because they traveled across the ocean, they're impervious to rain and water. They're sealed really well. You don't have to worry about rodents and things like that if it's elevated off the ground.
Uh-huh.
The people are really taking them and, like, really converting them
into
a
homes. I've seen that also on these tiny house. It's a tiny house explosion all over the country.
Yes.
And they've used buses, you know, train things,
right,
and converted them into
right
houses. That was an excellent idea. The city of Oakland, you need to be paying attention now. Get them things and have them converted into living spaces.
Yeah, the material's already there, and there are people. There are people out there, especially right now, because they're feeling like, "What can I do to help?" That will donate time and materials to help turn these containers into homes.
There are people. There are people out there who will be glad to do that.
That's right.
And all we have to do is convince our city council and Alameda County to help in that, because
there are so many of those containers they can wrap around the earth six times.
Okay, that's it. You've told me enough. We need to look into that and probably have to go to one of these city council meetings and
right,
during open forum.
You're right.
Tell them this stuff. If they don't hear what we're doing now on TV, they may not get it, and nobody else may not even mention it.
The place that I was referring to on San Leandro Boulevard, their website is apstorage.com. You can get a quote for rental and for also purchasing. I believe the 45-footers are no more than like $1,500 to purchase. And then, of course, you'd have to have them converted with the electricity and plumbing and whatnot. But it's much cheaper than, you know, trying to purchase your own home or something like that. They're already existing. They can be converted into space. And it's amazing how much you can do with the space.
Yes. I've seen on the tiny houses, they have things hidden all up and stuff. They brought out a 6-foot dining table. I said, well, where did it come from? It was, you know, as well as full beds and
right,
stuff.
Like those Murphy beds that fold down
from the
wall.
Yeah, the Murphy beds that come out of the wall.
Yes.
They do all those types of things. And they'd have it where you lived up, the space is your loft where you sleep.
Right.
And many times it's not tall enough for you to stand in there. We could understand that. You're getting in there to sleep.
Right.
So you climb up your stairs. And some, these homes that I've seen on television, sometimes they even build stairs with storage
right
under
each
them.
Step is its own storage.
Storage, that's right. And you can get up to your loft. There are a lot of things that can be done here, and I think me and you are going to do some research on those them train things.
There's a little article here from the East Bay Times. Tiny houses gain popularity in Bay Area but also face obstacles. And part of I'll just read a brief piece of it. Tired of watching their earnings evaporate every month to cover rent and other basics, Aaron Castle and his fiancée Candace Anderson made a decision to go tiny. They downsized their closets and got rid of many other possessions and today live in a 139-square-foot cedar shingle cottage on wheels that they built. The dwelling is smaller than a two-car garage but has everything they need, a kitchen with a three-burner range and stove, bathtub, bathroom with compostable toilet, and an upstairs loft that's big enough to fit a king-size bed.
Uh-huh.
But when it came time to find a spot to park their little abode, the couple quickly ran into problems.
That's right.
City inspectors in Redwood City, where they initially set up, told them they could not live in an RV, which is what they classified the home, while parked in a residential neighborhood. They were then cited for blocking a view and then for causing a public nuisance. They are now parked in the backyard of a church in San Bruno, but are trying to keep a low profile. So even with that, people trying to find a solution for themselves, there's going to be haters.
That's why we have to. That's why we have to have the city council as well as Alameda council people, supervisors, to participate in this.
Right.
Now, I did a little research. The city council had approved. I know they were going through it. I'll have to check it out. But two small, tiny houses to be built.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why that should be a problem. Because on most of these lots here in Oakland, you can put two tiny houses on. Because some of them already have two facilities, front and back.
Right.
So that might even be, if that lot is that large, you might even be able to put three tiny houses there.
Right.
There may have to be some zoning and ordinance changes or what
right.
have you, but that's something that the city council and all of our elected officials should be keeping in mind on how they're going to solve this housing problem that we have here. And you just brought up an excellent idea, so I think we need to work on that and do a little bit more research.
Okay.
And if the city council don't bring it up by the time we do all of our stuff, we go down there to city council open forum and get as many people as we can
right.
to come pertaining to putting small tiny houses here in Oakland. I'd love to have one myself. Because the bigger my house, the more crap I'm going to buy. You know, and stuff I have to end up giving away anyway. I don't know. It's just something I wanted. Didn't need it, you know. So I have to, I'm downsizing right now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. The thing about you, though, is that when you know that you have an abundance of things, especially around the holidays and times when people really need, you know, a little extra. There's people that can't afford to purchase anything for their children.
That's right.
So you have always, as long as I've known you, done holiday giveaways and things like that. And
doing
fact,
one
we have
this,
one coming up.
Yep, we're going to do one this year. We're going to do a Christmas gift giveaway. But you got to bring a child to come get the adult gifts because we have plenty of children gifts as well. And it's Christmas, you know. So we're going to go on through the holidays giving out gifts and past Christmas. We're going to go in past New Year's because what goes past New Year's? The second the Muslims' New Year thing, what day? They start on the 26th, the day after Christmas, and it goes into like the second or
Kwanzaa, right? The Kwanzaa.
No, not exactly Kwanzaa. What is it? The Muslims. What is it called? I don't know what it's called.
Ramadan.
And that might be it. But anyway, what is the other one? The Jewish is
Hanukkah.
Hanukkah. All of that stuff is all around, you know, the year. And we're going to go through the beginning to the end of whichever one. You can bring your children and come get gifts. But anyway, back to this Derek Ion person. Now, mainly what I wanted to talk about is what the Lord led me to talk about. Did anyone really notice the picture on the outside of that building? Did you take a good look at that picture? A skeleton picture. Now, I'm going to touch bases on something that I think needs to be addressed right now, and that's clean and unclean spirits. Skeletons, with or without the crossbows, bones, represent evil, death. And when unclean spirits,
images, I see them.
You see it?
Yes.
Yeah, that one right there.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a female version of that when you drive down Foothill Boulevard. I believe that was right at 35th Avenue. There was a female version of that same picture on this big building. And every time I drove by that, I had this feeling. And I just didn't like when I passed by there and I saw that picture. And I prayed on them to get rid of it. And they have painted over that picture since then. Now, it's too late for me to pray on this building and get rid of the picture, so I'm just going to have to use it for my teachings today. That picture of that skeleton invited, and this is how unclean spirits deal with it. It's like inviting them in, and for them to want to give you thoughts, ideas, and suggestions that are evil. I believe Derek Ion, Al Minna, whatever his name is, was under the influence of unclean spirits based on how he handled everything. Now, another thing I want to talk a little bit about pertaining to unclean spirits that were there. You see, Satan is the Lord of Death, and in this case, it is clear that there are people that were responsible or have some responsibility pertaining to that fire that killed 36 people. Now, another thing I saw that I need to touch bases on are piercings. That invites Satan in as well. Now, keep in mind, God is going to be dealing with your heart and your mind when you put these piercings or tattoos or whatever it is over your body. If you tattoo something that's evil, you're going to be under a consistent attack of unclean, evil spirits consistently, because Satan is really operating from Old Testament. A lot of times, Old Testament is not of sound doctrine today. So God is not thinking about your piercings or your tattoos in the manner that a lot of people think. He doesn't want you to mar your body. He thinks your body is perfect. You do not have to have any of these things. But in case you do, it's what's in your heart and your mind and how you lead your life. Now, a lot of those people had tattoos, piercings all over the place, who are probably unaware that these things will bring about attacks from unclean spirits on you. And if they start attacking you, everyone that's associated with you is subject to be attacked. Some people carry around a lot of unclean spirits. Well, let's deal with what the Bible said. Mary Magdalene had seven. But Legion had to have a minimum of 2,000 simply because there were 2,000 swine that jumped off the water, or jumped off into the water, because Jesus had put those unclean spirits in the swine. They did something that was totally, against their nature. They jumped off into the sea out there when they don't really like to have no more than a few feet of water. They can't swim. So nature tells them not to go near water. Well, I don't know how many unclean spirits this Ion person had, or the people that were at that party. I don't know how many, but it is clear to me there were many. Satan was invited to that party. And that picture that's in front of that building, as long as that picture was there, that was inviting Satan in. And people would do evil and unclean things without even thinking about it.
The picture she's referring to, if you Google Ghost Ship Warehouse and click on images, they'll show up on the first page. It's a skeleton head and several, looks like, eyeballs underneath it.
It's a weird picture.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it's a weird picture. Although they didn't balance it out putting flowers and things around there. Satan don't care nothing about no flowers. He saw a skeleton there. They named it Ghost Ship.
Right.
That wasn't a good idea at all. Because, you know, ghosts, you're dead.
Right.
You know, it's best not to associate, evil and dead things to your life or no one else's life. It was a lot of evil there. And I'm pretty sure it was enough unclean spirits in there to cause that fire. This is how it happens. You're under the influence of an unclean spirit, and you allow electrical stuff to be going on that shouldn't, and you know it. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Like they said, they eliminated that refrigerator, and they're trying to find out other electrical problems. I don't see how they didn't. They must have eliminated that it came from the place that they were stealing electricity from. It had to be, one of those businesses or something around there, because if they stealing electricity, that means whose electricity they stealing, their electricity goes up.
Right.
Looked like they should have caught that. Or it may be, remember I said we took over a Oakland Fire Station. That electricity, it had been closed for a long time. It's torn down now. But it had been closed for a long time when we took it over, and the electricity was still on.
Hmm.
So wherever they're getting that, stealing that electricity from, it may be a place that doesn't have, is not open or whatever, and the electricity
right.
is still on. You know, it's terrible.
Well,
it's terrible.
Like we said, there's layers and layers to this. So if they were taking electricity from some place that had been closed, someone didn't turn the electricity off at that place.
That's
then,
right.
You know, inspections that were supposed to have taken place at the Ghost Ship Warehouse were not taking place. There were inspectors who did show up and were not allowed admittance to the building.
Mm-hmm.
There was several complaints even as early as a couple weeks before the fire took place. There are other businesses in town where these same types of venues are taking place. The owner of Everett and Jones mentioned that there's...
Down the street?
That there is... the one downtown said that there's... a facility next door.
Uh-huh, right down the street.
That's throwing events, and that they're worried about the same type of thing potentially happening and threatening their business and threatening lives.
We got to do something about people that have to make these type desperate situations because they have no choice. They know there are dangers in those places, but where are they going to go?
Right.
You know, so we, the people in Oakland, need to be doing something about this homeless situation because it's not being resolved at the level that it should be. And we're having all kinds of things out there. We do not want another fire. And see, that one is all jacked up because if you looked at the pictures, you could see. And in what web page is that again?
I'm on Google. I typed in Ghost Ship Warehouse and clicked on images, and there's pages and pages of
okay,
of
well, if you look at those images from inside the building before the fire, they showed some pictures. Okay, I want to see one that I saw on the news where you can see the upstairs part and you can see the makeshift. They called it stairs. It was I don't know what those things were, that people were climbing up.
Okay, I'm looking for that.
Is that it? Well, you can see the upstairs a little bit, but it's not enough. I want
that ladder you were talking about that leads up to the... You're right, this was not meant for people to be...
Right, see, right up there where that is, it wasn't meant for people to be up there. And I saw a spot to where they had put various different wood there across that so people wouldn't fall down to the first floor.
This
is that it?
Yes.
If you go to that webpage, you'll see where they did some makeshift.
It's on the first page of Google Images for the Ghost Ship Warehouse.
Well,
so
anyway.
Like the third line down, third picture in, and then the one next to that is a picture of the trailer that the woman was staying in. That was inside the warehouse property.
Yeah, that's a trailer there. Yeah, they showed a number of pictures. Now, I don't understand why this man took advantage of people he knew that were homeless, because that's the way I'm looking at it. I don't know how much money he was paying the owner. Now, I don't know what the setup is. But what I do know is he took advantage of people, collecting all of that money. They didn't have a bathroom that made sense. I mean, it was just a mess. And he knew better. So I know I want him to be a major fault. Now, as for the city and government, I don't know. We have to find out what the rules are for responding. For example, the last time someone went out there was, November 14th? And looked like something should have been done then. But if there is a procedure that has to be taken, for example, contacting the owner of the property through writing, if you don't know, the number, telephone number, contacting the owner. Now, they may have, this is a hypothetical example. Say, for instance, whoever came out there, I don't know, inspectors or whoever, they have 30 days to respond to it. And what they're supposed to do is contact the owner of the property. Now, the owner of the property may have 30 days to respond back to them. I don't know what the actual time that things have to be taken care of, but in this case, it was an emergency, and it has been an emergency for years. So someone of authority must also be in blame here. The city, the, you know, health and safety codes were involved there. People working, I don't know if they even paid any taxes or what have you. When they get through with these people, they're going to throw all kinds of books at them because you got to pay your taxes if you're making money. This could be blown out of proportion when we need to be concentrating on getting housing for these people. That's ultimate reason why we should be.
Well, and in this case as well, it was an out of sight, out of mind type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were housed somewhere. They weren't on the street. And what brought attention to them, a lot of it was the blight that people were throwing their junk and stuff into the lot next door. And the neighbors were complaining about blight in that case. And that's what really drew a lot of attention to them, too. So, I mean, for people that make the laws and the regulations and stuff, they don't have to live under what the laws that they implement. And for many cities, you know, the homeless are considered blight themselves. Human beings are considered blight.
Yes.
And so these people were out of sight and out of mind in a lot of cases. And that's what, you know, it's horrible that this is what had to transpire for attention to be brought to the issue. You know, and in addition to that, like, you know, this is going to go on, like we said, for quite some time.
Right. It is going to go on for some time. But in the meantime, it's time for you churches to step up. Because, see, some of you churches have people that are homeless coming to your services. And you're not really providing the assistance that they need. So you churches are going to have to step up. Now, y'all might need to buy some of those train things.
The cargo containers.
Cargo container things. You might need to buy some of those and put, maybe that's better than doing the grocery store that I was talking about. Maybe helping the homeless and people that are having problems with getting jobs, helping them. To become self-sufficient, and in the meantime, putting them in one of those trailer things.
Right.
You know, you churches collect a lot of money. Chauncey Bailey, before he was murdered, brought that out many years ago, and I'm pretty sure y'all collected even more money than that. And he said it was $10 million a week being collected from these churches and putting it in somebody's bank here. But one of the problems I have is, they're collecting the money, and they don't live here. So they may not be that interested in helping Oakland.
And there's no accountability for what's being done with the money when it's collected.
It sure isn't. The only thing that's going to be accountable is if they fill out those 501c3 papers in the manner that they're supposed to. Revealing a lot of stuff. It's public record, or they're supposed to have it placed at public record, for anybody to come in and say, I want to see your last 3 years, I believe it is, tax returns, and et cetera. We are going to have to do something here, people. We got a lot of work to do. And see, we need to do a lot of praying on this in the meantime, because we don't want the same thing to happen again, and we don't want more people pushed out in the streets to become homeless. So we need to pray on this. You know, pray away all unclean spirits so they won't have any part of what we're trying to do to help Oakland. The people in Oakland, and it's a mess, people. It's a mess. So it's getting time for me to close. Do you have anything that you would like to say in closing? I just
feel like that we all need to be in a place of compassion right now. We need to focus on being compassionate towards those that are suffering. And, you know, when you do that, it opens up something within you that makes you want to be even more, reaching out even more in the community. And so I'm just praying for compassion for our community right now, for those that are suffering, because the town is in grief.
Well, we're in a state of emergency. We've been in a state of emergency even before. But
you're right.
We need to straighten this out. We need to really straighten this out. Now, before I close, I have one announcement I want to make. So for those that need looking for work, everybody knows that the post office around this time of year hire a lot of people. And sometimes that can become a permanent job. And what you need to do is go to where is the web page? USPS.com/careers. Well, anyway, I worked for the post office during one of these Christmas events, and I was called a NTE, not to exceed a particular time. And there are many people, the majority of them, that are going to be hired are not going to be there past the holiday rush. But they're watching you while you're there. You may be a person that they will keep after the holidays type thing. You know, in order to do that, you have to have a perfect attendance record. You can't be late because you're stepping in and out. They're going to know what time you came in and came out. All of that stuff. So it's a job that pays pretty good. It did pay pretty good. You have to want to work there. I didn't want to work there. I found out for certain. I already knew that I didn't want to be one of the carriers in the streets carrying around a mail. Right. So I chose the indoor clerk. And I don't want to be that either. You know, that's just hard work as far as I'm concerned. I'm used to sitting at a desk. And, you know, but there are people that are willing to do that. They have the, what are they called? The mail handlers that load and unload the trucks.
Right.
You know, they make pretty good money, too. And then they have the computerized part of the mail. Long time ago, they called them LSM operators, I believe, that did the computerized stuff pertaining to mail. I'm pretty sure it's more sophisticated because that was back in 1970-something when I worked there during the holiday time. But anyway, think about it, pray on it. You don't want to be associated with people that are evil or be around evil suggested things because that's inviting unclean spirits. You ministers are going to have to start talking a little bit more about how unclean and clean spirits work because we're listening to the evil spirits more than we're listening to the holy spirits, and they're both there, you know. And we have a tendency to listen to the wrong. You have to keep in mind, Satan and all of his, the devil and all of his minions, demons, they're at work, and they want you. So you're going to have to protect your thoughts and ideas, because if you let Satan know what you're in mind. He can't read your thoughts, but he can give you a thought, and he'll watch for you to act on it. And he knows that he can continue to give you those thoughts. If you don't check yourself, you'll continue to do what Satan tells you to do. And in this case, there was evil all up and through the fire. All over the place was a lot of evil. And Satan attacked, you know, even though the person themselves are not evil, they have a good heart, and that's what they said about pretty much all of those people.
Yeah.
Except that Ion person. But someone brought Satan with them, brought the devil with him, and he just wreaked havoc. And he thinks now he has 36 more people that he that's going to go with him. That's how he looks at it. Don't care nothing about a human life. So he's the author of death. God is the Lord of life. He has given us all that we need to overcome evil spirits, and we're going to have to begin to use those things. Basically, just pray them away, because they'll come all in your house, and you just pray them away. Rebuke them. Get out of my house. I don't want you here. Basically, those type words. I rebuke you. God and our Lord Jesus Christ has rebuked you. You get out of my house. And that's what you'll have to do. Get an incense or something and go around and cleanse your house. Candle or something.
Sage. Excellent cleanser.
Yeah, sage. Just clean your house, because people bring unclean spirits from outside into your house.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen. And at parties, now they didn't mention anything about drugs or alcohol associated with this.
Right.
But they probably did have some alcohol somewhere. Might even had a little marijuana somewhere. In the streets, it said that Ion was possibly a meth person. I don't know how true that is, but if that's the truth, that's just another evil thing that's attached to it, and he wouldn't care about the lives of anyone else. And it appeared that the first statement he made on Facebook was nothing about sorry. He's real sorry now, but he didn't address the issue the way he should have the first time they talked to him. I believe he was under the experience of unclean spirits. He was under the, unclean spirits. That's all I can say. They're influencing him to do and say things. But anyway, we done gone past time here.
Yes, ma'am.
They didn't get on. This might be one of those days that they don't have somebody come on right away, because he would have got on and did a countdown, honey. Oh, yeah. But anyway, I'm going to close with saying, knowing is not enough. We must apply. And I should have did some more applying, because I knew something was wrong. Willing is not enough. We must do. There's something that we have to do, people, okay? If it's changing these laws or what have you, we're going to have to do it in mass, okay? We got to have a lot of people, because if the laws aren't clear or they're not timely enough for us, then we're going to have to do something about it. But anyway, we're going to sit back and see what the governments are going to do. I love you. See you next week.